Worried, were you?
Just a little,
I say, shrugging nonchalantly. Glad you're okay, Travis, Isabella says, pulling him into a hug.
Thanks,
he says, grinning.
The highway to hell is shorter than I thought.
Isabella and I groan in unison, rolling our eyes. But I can't fight the smile creeping across my face.
Dennison, what the hell are my keys doing in a tree?
Katie rounds the corner, trying and failing to pull off her signature scowl before breaking into a grin. No one is more surprised than I am when I step forward and hug Katie, who hugs me back, even if it's just for a second before she steps away.
Looks like you did it, weirdo,
she says. But there's no hint of malice in her voice. She smiles, somewhere between impressed and relieved. Couldn't have done it without you, Katie, I say truthfully. Thanks for sticking around. She plays it off, but I can tell it means something to her.
Yeah, well, you're right. You definitely couldn't have done it without me, she says. I mean, I was kind of a badass.
You were, I laugh. Travis and Isabella hug Katie in turn, and I'm about to ask whether this means our friend group is growing by one more, when I hear something that stops me.
Max, don't touch that,
comes an irritated voice from the other side of the boathouse. It's a voice I'd know anywhere. Aunt Danny? I whisper, almost afraid to believe it. I follow the sound of the voice, slowly at first, then picking up speed until I'm jogging around the side of the lighthouse. There, near the dock and the rocky shoreline, are Mom, Dad, and Aunt Danny. Dad is crouching near the ground, picking up what looks from afar like a piece of broken glass. As I get closer, I see it's a shard of the blood moonstone glowing faintly.
Poppy,
Mom sighs in relief, rushing forward to gather me into a crushing embrace.
We were so worried.
Same, I laugh, relieved. You have no idea. Aunt Danny and Dad stand behind Mom, grinning.
Looks like you pulled it off, kid,
Danny says, beaming proudly.
Told you you could do it.
Dad puts a hand on my shoulder, his eyes crinkling at the corners as he smiles.
You did good, Poppy,
he says.
We're so proud of you.
Thanks, I say, relishing the feeling. I look back over my shoulder to see Isabella talking animatedly with her parents, Travis gathering as many of his siblings up into a hug as he can, and Katie and Principal Taylor having what looks like an uncharacteristically warm conversation. I didn't do it alone, I say, turning back to my family.
You're still grounded, though, says Mom. Oh, totally.
Dad nods.
Very grounded.
What? My mouth drops open. But I brought you back from the literal pits of hell. Aunt Danny smirks.
Right. But you also sort of sent us there, so it was really the least you could do.
I open my mouth to issue a rebuttal, but I stop short when I feel a hand on my shoulder.
Poppy, says Isabella from behind me.
Yeah, I ask.
Can I talk to you for a second?
She says, looking unusually shy. I turn to follow Isabella, who leads us around the other side of the lighthouse, away from the crowd and closer to the water.
I just want to thank you, she says, turning to face me.
She talks fast, as if she's only mustered 20 seconds worth of courage and doesn't think she can fit everything in before it runs out.
For what? I ask. I didn't do anything. I mean, you destroyed the moonstone. You were incredible.
She gives an emotional snort, tears pooling in her eyes.
So were you. Poppy, you were a hero today.
I mean, hero feels like a strong word, but I'll take it, I say, smirking. It was a team effort. She cracks a smile, but just barely.
Sorry, I'm just bad at this.
Isabella Richards bad at something? Never, I say jokingly, but it's clear that she's actually trying to tell me something. What's going on, Isabella? I ask. She's staring at the ground, so I dip my head to look her in the eyes.
Hey,
I say,
What is it? In truth, I feel like I kind of know what's going on for the first time in weeks, but I can't tell if it's all just in my head. All this time, Isabella stood up and did the right thing. She went all in to help me fix everything. And although there were many things I liked about her before, tonight has shown me that there are seemingly endless things to like about Isabella Richards. Her eyes are shining with tears as she looks at me, and I want to wipe them away. But that seems too intimate.
Look, Poppy, I'm so sorry. For everything, says Isabella. I had no idea that the Sanderson house and the spirit ward would lead to...
She trails off, looking down at the ground.
I can't believe you almost lost your family because of something that I did.
Hey, I say again, tilting her chin up gently so that I can see her eyes, which are shiny with unshed tears. You couldn't have known. This wasn't your fault. I'm the one who insisted we follow through. She takes a deep breath.
It was my idea, though. And I just... I'm sorry that being my friend almost got you killed.
Worth it, I say with a shrug, trying to play nonchalant. Though, I'm still a little confused as to why the coolest girl in school wants to hang out with me at all. Isabella smiles a little and looks up at me.
Come on, Poppy, she says. Can't you tell?
My emotions are suddenly spinning out of control.
Can I?
I feel confused, and I'm fighting like hell to keep myself from giving in to hope here.
Yeah, she says shyly. You're a cool girl, Poppy. And you're beautiful. And I like that you have dreams that are bigger than Salem. But you still love this place. I like that you try to see the best in everyone. I like that you do anything to protect the people you love, including battling a coven of evil witches on top of a lighthouse tower. I like you.
She pauses, her eyes huge and dark.
This has been the strangest, scariest night of my life. But I got to spend it with you. And strange and horrifying as it was, I wouldn't take it back. Not a second of it.
With that, she leans forward, pressing her lips to mine. Her breath is soft and warm, and when her lips touch mine, I feel a crackle of electricity. It moves from her hands to my hands and up through my arms into my chest, and my heart soars. She puts one hand on my cheek, and an electric current races through my veins, thrilling, but not painful. I've never been kissed before. But I know this is what a first kiss should be. A movie theater kiss, blown up on the big screen. A kiss for the history books. A kiss that feels like, well, a bit like magic. We pull apart, but her hand drops to mine.
Me too, I say awkwardly.
I mean, I like you too, a lot. We grin at each other. And Isabella looks down at her feet again. I've never seen her so vulnerable, and it makes her even more beautiful. I want this moment to last forever. Aunt Danny comes around the corner and smiles when she sees we're holding hands.
Hey, you two, she calls out. Let's get home and eat. I'm starving. Plus, I haven't had one single cookie of your mom's, and I was in hell for... She checks her watch. Way too long.
We turn and walk back down the hill toward my family, Isabella's arm brushing against mine. Halfway down, I glance over at her and she gives me a little grin. Dad is waiting for us at the bottom of the hill, and Principal Taylor stands by his side. As we get closer, I can hear the two men talking.
I'm sorry I left you hanging that night, Jay,
Dad says.
That wasn't right.
Principal Taylor looks a little embarrassed, but he takes a deep breath and looks Dad in the eyes.
It's all right, Hollywood,
he says, smiling.
Ancient history now. I mean, that was an entire witch-pocalypse ago.
He extends his hand, and Dad takes it, shaking it heartily.
Too right. Maybe we shouldn't leave all the hope and change to the kids, says Dad.
Aunt Annie races ahead of us toward Mom and Dad.
Hey, Allison, how much party food do you have left? Because I could really go for a junk food brunch. Plus, we haven't really wrapped up the Halloween festivities yet, so it's not too late to watch our favorite Halloween movie.
Mom and Dad both groan.
Come on! She cries pleadingly. It's a cult classic. We've watched it every Halloween since we were kids.
She shoves her way between them and links arms with them.
It'll be fun!
I can hear them sigh, and I laugh to myself. It happens every Halloween, and every Halloween Aunt Dani gets her way. I look at Travis, Isabella, and Katie.
We did it, I say proudly.
And if we can save Salem from a trio of evil witches, we can do anything.
Together,
says Isabella with a smile.
Together, I repeat happily. All right, saps, we get it,
says Katie, rolling her eyes but cracking a smile.
Four's a coven, right?
Material Ghost.
I can't believe you have us back here already, Dedison, says Katie, stooping to examine a headstone that's almost invisible under the cloudy night sky. In a cemetery less than 24 hours after the invasion of the real witches of Inferno County. Bold move.
Seconded, says Travis. Not that I'm totally supportive of Witch Hunt 2.0. It just feels weird.
He's right. It does feel weird to be back in the cemetery, so close to where this whole thing started. Next to me, Isabella's quiet, but I sense that she's anxious.
I'm sure she's fine, I whisper, taking Isabella's hand and giving it a gentle squeeze. She's here somewhere.
Isabella nods, squeezing my hand in return, but says nothing. She looks nervous, and there's lingering exhaustion written on her face. I know how she feels. We're all still recovering from our flirtations with death and an eternity spent filling in for some malevolent witches in hell.
I can't believe that you all came here with a spirit board after Allison warned you about the blood moon, says Aunt Annie, hands in the pockets of her jeans.
It's like you heard increased magical activity and thought, I know, I think we'll summon the dead, maybe commit a misdemeanor or eight, and see where the night takes us.
It seemed like a good idea at the time, I shrug.
I hear Isabella laugh lightly next to me.
I think it worked out, she whispers, bumping my shoulder gently with hers.
Me too, I say with a chuckle, happy to hear her laugh. She spent most of the day worried about Elizabeth. Ghosts disappear with the dawn, but the last time we saw her, she was being scattered with the wind all over Winter Island. A moment later, Isabella's smile falters and disappears.
We should go, she says. It's getting cold, and there's no sign of her. Maybe she's just...
Apologies, dear, says a voice from behind us. Taking this form is exhausting, and after the evening we had, I'm afraid I've been resting most of the day. Isabella turns around slowly, like she isn't quite ready to let herself believe what she's hearing. But when I look back over my shoulder, there she is. Elizabeth is standing among the headstones near the chapel, hands clasped in front of her.
Whoa,
Aunt Dani breathes. I know what she means. Though I just saw a ghost for the first time last night, it's difficult to fully appreciate or remember just how strange they are in the, well, not flesh, I guess. I can't imagine what it's like to finally see a ghost again after all these years. She's described Binks plenty of times, but at a certain point, words just fall flat.
Elizabeth,
Isabella says as she strides over to stand in front of Elizabeth's translucent, shimmering form.
How did you...
I can only move from here temporarily. I am, for better or for worse, tied to this place forever. Wherever I go, I am always here.
Not confusing at all, Katie mutters.
I shoot her a look.
Are you okay? Isabella asks.
Aside from discovering that my mother used me as a pawn, and that she makes my sisters look positively benevolent by comparison, she asks, smiling wearily.
Fine.
Like you, I suspect, just a bit tired.
Isabella nods. Thank you, she says. For helping us? For helping me?
I never would have been able to.
Of course you would have, Isabella, says Elizabeth, moving closer to Isabella.
You may not know much about your powers yet, but you are an extraordinary witch, and you're meant for extraordinary things.
Isabella shoots her a shy smile, and for a moment falls speechless.
Did you get what you hoped to?
Isabella asks, out of helping us?
All of that, and more, says Elizabeth, reaching forward to touch Isabella's cheek. I am so very proud of you.
Of all of you. You showed great courage. Without you, this would have been a dark day, followed by many more to come.
That's something of an understatement, I think, says a new voice.
Binks materializes next to Elizabeth, followed by Emily, who stands beside him.
Binks!
Aunt Dani rushes forward, stopping just in front of him and grinning.
It's good to see you this side of the veil,
Binks laughs.
Is everything all right now?
Well, we're not in hell anymore, so can't complain.
Also, you were capable of appearing this whole time, and you didn't once think of dropping by to say hi?
She crosses her arms petulantly.
So much for, I shall always be with you, jerk face. Well, you didn't exactly pop by the cemetery for a quick chat,
Binks shoots back.
And ghosts making house calls is typically frowned upon. Terrible for real estate prices.
She frowns for a moment longer, then breaks into laughter.
Touché.
Emily looks toward me then, and steps forward, pulling her hand from behind her back to reveal my camera. No way, I say, taking it gently and inspecting it. Save for a few scuff marks, it's intact. You found it.
I figured you might want it back, she says with a shrug. I'm still not sure what it does, but it seemed ever so important.
Thank you, I say, popping the cover off the lens. Do you all mind if I try something? I ask the three ghosts. They shake their heads, but are clearly confused. I put my eye to the viewfinder, make a few adjustments, then snap a photo. For posterity, I say.
You live in a very strange world, Poppy Dennison, Binks muses. But I hope that one way or another, you always find what it is you're looking for.
He puts a hand on Emily's shoulder and smiles. Then they both fade gradually, leaving only Elizabeth. Pardon me for speaking quickly, dear, Elizabeth says, turning back to Isabella. My energy is waning. There's so much I'd like to tell you now, but it will have to wait for another day. Until then, it is essential that you understand one terribly important thing.
This doesn't sound good,
Travis says under his breath. You can never really kill a witch, Elizabeth continues. My sisters are gone, but so long as there is wickedness in this world, there will always be a place where evil finds a home.
What are you saying? Asks Isabella, her tone quiet but nervous.
I'm saying that Salem needs to be protected, says Elizabeth, and that you've proven yourselves more than capable. She looks at each of us. Remain vigilant. Weed out hate and ignorance and persecution whenever and wherever you can, and hold tight to one another. She smiles sadly. If I'd had the support of friends like yours, I imagine that things may have ended differently for me. Elizabeth begins to fade.
Wait, Isabella says. There's more I want to... I need to... I have so many questions.
You'll always be able to find me here, Isabella, Elizabeth says. But I think you'll discover you already have the answers. And, with a knowing smile, she disappears. Silence falls over our small group, all of us stunned into remaining quiet, at least for a moment.
Wow,
Travis says, running a hand over his hair.
That's a lot.
Yeah, Isabella says quietly.
It is. So it isn't over? Is that what I'm getting here?
Asks Katie.
Because I have to be honest, I'm really looking forward to sleeping for about 24 hours and taking a nice long break from thinking about witches and ghosts and hell.
Sounds like we might not have that luxury, I say.
Fighting evil is going to have to wait, though, says Aunt Dani, putting a hand on my shoulder.
We promised your parents we'd have you home in an hour.
Isabella nods, walking back toward me as we all turn and make our way out of the cemetery. She links an arm through mine.
Thanks for coming back with me, she says. I'm just so glad she's okay.
Of course, I say. We walk in silence for a moment. So, how are you doing? I ask. Ghostly ancestors and a new set of magical powers is a lot for one night. She considers that for a moment.
Honestly, I feel a little relieved, she says. I always felt like there was this part of me that was missing.
And finding Elizabeth, finding out about all of this and who I really am, it's a relief. It feels right, even if it's terrifying. Isabella bumps her shoulder with mine once more.
I'm feeling like I'm ready to take on whatever comes next, she says, smiling gently.
Well, I'm feeling like I'm ready for pizza, says Travis. And bed. And a 12-hour nap.
We all laugh in agreement and head toward the car. Isabella's right. It is a relief to know that there's more to Salem than made-up stories and a disturbing preoccupation with a particularly dark period of history. But I can't shake the feeling that there's something we're missing. Something we forgot. And then, all at once, the realization hits me like a freight train. Winifred's spellbook is missing. Again. Eye for an Eye. 1 year later, Salem, 2019. Posters of a missing teenage girl plaster telephone poles, mailboxes, and the Salem post office. They were put up over a year ago, but someone keeps pinning up fresh printouts over the old, weathered ones on a bustling residential street filled with trick-or-treaters. There's a lamppost with one of the posters attached to it. Illuminated by the moonlight, it shows the pretty girl, beaming as if she just won the lottery. Under her photo, the sign reads, Missing, Shay Womack. Last seen in Salem Common, Salem, Massachusetts. Date missing, October 31st, 2018. Age, 17. Height, 5'3". Hair, long, brown. Last seen wearing white t-shirt and jeans. Please call the Salem County Sheriff's Office. A teenage boy regards it.
Thanks again for switching places with me. He smirks. Not that you had much of a choice in the matter.
Tears down the missing poster, laughing, and slinks across the sidewalk.
Nice costume, mister,
shouts a little trick-or-treater dressed as a princess. The teenage boy dips his chin, obscuring his face with the wide brim of his pointed black hat, and keeps walking, his long emerald green cloak swirling fiercely in his wake. He turns up a red brick walk, moving half like a shadow and half like a snake, and stops in front of a colonial-style two-story house with white clapboard siding and dark shutters. Party music and bright light flood from its open windows. He crumples the poster in his fist and tosses it over his shoulder, then regards the house for a moment longer. He takes a step closer to it. When the front door opens, a warm glow from within spilling onto the walk, he sidesteps into the shadows, avoiding the light. Under the cover of darkness, he turns and leaves the property, dashing across the suburban streets amidst a flurry of eager trick-or-treaters. He passes happy homes and streets full of laughter, barely staying out of sight, but deftly blending into the crowd in the night. It's only when he reaches the edge of the town's quiet cemetery that he slows to a stroll. As he makes his way past ornate tombstones, simple grave markers, enormous stone crosses and grand mausoleums. His eyes scan the grounds, looking for something in particular. When at last he finds it, he stoops, squinting as he inspects it. The headstone's once detailed surface is blurred by the forces of time and nature. Still, he can make out the simple skull and crossbones atop the inscription. He stands and pulls Winifred's spellbook from the folds of his cloak,
smirking at the confused swivel of the book's single, cloudy green eye. He gazes back down at it, his remaining eye glowing a matching shade of green.
"There, there,"
he says gently, stroking the puckered lid and the delicate silver filigree that surrounds the eye. His other hand rises subconsciously to his face, touching the empty socket. He still misses it. The eye in the book blinks once or twice, each blink slower than the last, until it seems to fall asleep. The boy licks his thumb and pages through the book, almost lazily.
"Yes,"
he says, as one might say to quiet a sleeping child. Then he parrots the ghost who had stood in this exact spot 1 year ago.
"You can never really kill a witch, especially,"
he chuckles,
"if you don't know he's there."
He finds the page in the spell book he's been seeking and reads aloud.
"Unfaithful brother long since dead, deep asleep in thy wormy bed. Wiggle thy toes, open thine eyes, twist thy fingers toward the sky. Life is sweet, be not shy. On thy feet, so saith I."
Before the last syllable even leaves his lips, the ground begins to violently shake and quake. Nearby, the other tombstones lay still, but the one in front of him sinks into the ground. An old wooden coffin slowly rises from the dirt as the boy looks on triumphantly. The ground goes as still and as quiet as the night. The top of the coffin creaks open, shudders, and slides off as a figure slowly sits up. The teen witch grins.
"Welcome back, Billy. Great things await us."
This concludes the reading of Disney Hocus Pocus and the all-new sequel by A.W. Jantha. Copyright 2018 by Disney Enterprises Incorporated. This book was read by Eileen Stevens. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Reform Books and was produced in 2018 by Blackstone Publishing. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.